sharing that, brother. All right, well, we want to welcome everyone tonight to our Wednesday night prayer meeting service, and I hope everybody has had a good week this week. I'm sure the devil's left everybody in here alone, and not really, huh? And he is steady at work, but God is greater than the devil.
Amen.
And we will walk right behind the Lord and let him fight it for us, fight the devil. But it's good to be here, and what an opportunity each and every time it is to come to God's house. And whether we feel good or not and feel like it or not, we still come. And what a blessing it is. You end up really receiving a bigger blessing when you go when you don't feel like it. God has proven that to me time and time again. But nonetheless, we are here and we are excited. I do want to mention some things like we do normally on Wednesday nights concerning our prayer list. Right off the bat, I meant to mention this on Sunday, but let's pray for the tornado victims in Kentucky. Me and Brother Jeff was just talking about that, and I believe Brother Jeff's getting ready to go over there and do some work and help out with the Samaritan's Purse. But let's remember them. What a devastation. What a devastation. I can't remember what the death toll was the last I heard. I know it was climbing up into the high.
That was in the 70s and climbing up to expecting about
100. Wow. Up in the 70s, expecting around 100. I mean, we're in December, you know, and to hear of tornadoes, I know it happens, but a Christmas tornado is not welcomed for sure. No tornado is welcomed. Help them, Lord. Terrible, 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 terrible. So let's remember them tonight, and let's pray for them. Pray for Brother Jeff as he goes. When are you leaving, brother?
The 6th.
The 6th, okay. All right. Well, we'll remember that. And so let's remember our children's home, and it's good to see Brother Lee and Sister Teresa with us tonight. And I overheard some tree lot talk, and sounds like things are still moving fast. And praise the Lord for that. And it's an experience, isn't it? A lot going on over there. Brother David in the back knows all about it. And I know everybody in here has helped at some point with the tree lot. And I remember my first year here being Brother Snyder's associate. When Brother Brian had two lots going, one in Hiram and then of course the one where it's at now at the home, but he put me out there, you know, new here, wet behind the ears. Brother Brian said, "Hey, would you go out there and work things over there in Hiram?" I said, "Yeah, I sure will." And so anyway, it was an experience. Good times though, good times. So let's remember the home. I believe the others are here tonight, aren't they? The kids and all, everybody doing better from being in isolation, I guess?
We still have, they're kind of somewhat quarantined.
Okay.
But since they're home, it's just their first, it's bad that anybody's quarantined, but thank you.
Yeah. There you go. Well, we'll remember them. Let's remember Ruby Harper, Harold Dolph, Leonard and Dolores Palmer, Ed and Marianne Sandy. Talked to Miss Marianne before church, and She has got the shingles up in her eye, on her head. I asked her if I could share this, and she said yes. And so I asked her, was she in any pain? Because typically, you know, pain goes along. And she said, no, not right now. And, so let's pray that it stays that way and she recovers from this. But remember her. Remember Brother Ed. James and Shirley Townsend, Johnny and Pat Eccles, Mary Kelly, the Teagues, continue to remember Miss Dawn Daly, Jim Jr., Miss Rebecca and the Ashworths, Rusty and Chris Watkins, Randy and Janet Bailey, the Tidwells, Brother David Henderson and his upcoming hip replacement surgery. What are we, two Mondays out? One Monday? 27th, yeah. Monday after Christmas. So let's remember him on that. Charlie Wilson, Melissa Slagle. Let's remember the Rich family. That's Brother Dom, Miss Carla, and their whole family all the way around. Claudia Darby, Barbara Anderson, Jenny Clanton, Gerald and Francis Carroll, all of our shut-ins, all of those that are serving in the military that came from the home. So let's remember them as well. Does anybody have any other kind of update, prayer request? Brother Dom. Oh.
So he said you should have been here earlier.
Okay.
Anyway, she says, he told me, he says, I'm going to send my nurse in so they wouldn't tell me that I was going to get two shots in the hips. So
ooh.
She's got to sit sideways.
Yeah, I guess so.
She's doing all right. She's doing better.
Good, good. I know she had an episode Sunday night.
Yeah.
May or may not be related, but. It was, yeah. All right. Well, let's continue to remember Miss Claudia in our prayers. Anyone else?
I have two. A friend of mine, her 18-year-old son, has been, I've asked prayer for him once before. His name is Austin Mulder, and he has been going through some stuff for probably 6 months or more. And I got a note today, he's got weakening in the left and right side of his heart.
Hmm. Yes.
Her numbers are improving, but she's going to have a very long way to go. Just pray that, you know, she doesn't have any real lasting side effects.
I sure will.
Their name is Tiffany and Mark, and I don't know what the last
name is. Yeah. Let's remember these two requests. Anyone else? All right. Let's remember this coming up Sunday. Sunday morning service will be our Christmas service. And this will be our Christmas offering, annual Christmas offering, just given to the Lord for the occasion of his birth. Just a little extra to give to the church on this coming Sunday. So remember that. We'll have envelopes. I believe Miss Catherine had mailed out a letter like she does annually with an envelope if you want to prepare for that if you've received your letter. If not, there'll be plenty here on Sunday morning. And so remember that. All right, anything else before we pray tonight? Okay, well, we're going to pray, and then Brother Jeff is going to come around with another song for us. And tell you what, we'll just have prayer right where we are tonight. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for who you are, for what you do. And Lord, we mention all of these requests to you. Lord, we pray for protection for those who need protection and healing, for those who need healing. And God, we praise you for those whom you have healed and have touched. We're just very thankful tonight that you love us and you're always looking after us, Lord. Even when we sleep, Lord, the God that doesn't sleep nor slumber is fully aware and fully awake. And we're thankful, Lord, that you do that. Be with us tonight in a very special, special way in the message, in the singing, and a special prayer tonight for these requests that were mentioned. And also, Lord, for Kentucky, where this tornado had came, I pray that you would piece it back together, and may everybody put Jesus as the centerpiece of that situation and live for you in days after. We love you tonight. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, Brother Jeff, and then we'll bring the message tonight. Wonderful song, Silent Night, Holy Night. We could sing that year-round, couldn't we? Just the truth that's associated with it. And this blessing. And so thank you for that, Brother Jeff. And we're going to continue tonight talking about Jesus. The past couple Wednesday nights, we've been talking about the Lord in some fashion because of the month of December. And I want to continue that tonight. The first message, the first lesson we brought about Jesus had to do with going from the cradle to the cross. And we just took you through three different stages of the life of Christ. And then last week we looked at the mystery revealed. The mystery revealed. And again, around Christmas time, the month of December, whether it's on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday, I like to include messages, lessons on Christ specifically. Just a great time of reflection upon Him and that ultimate sacrifice. And so tonight, I actually want to look at a particular word. And this particular word, it deals with the salvation of the believer. And let me say this before we mention the word. But in the Bible, there are several salvation words in relation to us that are saved. For example, there's the word redemption. And then there's the word justification, forgiveness, reconciliation, sanctification, adoption, regeneration, assurance, and of course, faith, grace. And then there's the word propitiation, and then the word imputation. And so it's going to be classroom style tonight. And some of these things that some of these lessons that we bring are more teaching geared than preaching geared, if you know what I mean. There's many other words in the Bible that deal with our salvation and what we have in Jesus, words that are used. But tonight, I want to look at that last word I mentioned, and I want to talk to you about the word imputation. The word imputation. And I want to look at two specific things with this word, and my prayer is that it would educate but also encourage us tonight. And the word imputation. So let's dive right in. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Romans, chapter number 4. If you're not, I don't know if I mentioned that yet or not. But Romans, chapter number 4. And I'll go ahead and tell you, I won't be preaching an hour tonight. I didn't sense nor feel the flow of that while studying today. But I say that, and then I might do it, so I'm not going to say anything. And so, you know, I said it. There it is. Cat's out of the bag. All right, let's look at a couple things when it comes to that word imputation as it deals with our salvation. In Romans chapter number 4, I want you to notice in verse number 21 and 22. Romans 4, verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. The word imputed there in verse 23, verse 22, it's in verse 23 as well, but verse 22, the word imputed, it means to reckon. It means count. It means count. It means calculate. But I like this definition more than those. It means to pass to one's account. Imputation. It means to, I could say it this way, to make a deposit on someone's account. And think about it tonight. Abraham, in fact, Paul is speaking here, but he's speaking of Abraham and the salvation that Abraham received, which he received the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And he uses the word imputed. He uses that word, means to pass to one's account or make a deposit. And so basically, verse 21 says, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So first, there was a a belief, not just a head belief, but a heart belief from Abraham about God that he was able to perform his promise. What was that promise? That through Abraham, Isaac would come, that promised seed that would eventually lead to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Abraham believed that with his head, but he believed it with his heart as well. In verse number 22, the Bible says, and therefore it was imputed, or therefore it was deposited to him for righteousness. And so because Abraham had this firm persuasion of who God says he is and what he would do, there was a transaction made. And Abraham received the righteousness of God on his account. Now, if someone gave me a check and I went to the bank and I had my name on the check and this had, let's say, $100, okay, I want to tell the bank teller, she's going to say, hey, Mr. Hales, what would you like to do today? I'd like to make a deposit. And I say, I just have this check here. She goes, okay, just sign it and send it over. We know who you are. And so she sends me a receipt. And it says, deposited in the account of Justin Hales, $100. And so I'm looking at that receipt, and I'm viewing the transaction that was made. Before, if you will, I didn't have that $100. Now I have that $100. I have a receipt to prove it. It's on my account. And so in like manner, that's how imputation takes place. It's whenever we come to Jesus and through faith and repentance, Lord, we recognize who you are. We recognize what you did for us on the cross. We accept you into our hearts, into our lives. We repent of our sins. And Lord, we just ask you to come in and be the Lord of our life. And the moment that happens, from a heart of repentance by grace through faith, at that very moment, there is deposited on your account the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you tonight or not, but that's exciting for me because I know that I'm not always righteous. In fact, Brother Don, Isaiah says our righteousness is as filthy rags. And so tonight it is a tremendous blessing as we celebrate Christmas and talk about Him and get ready for our big Sunday, this coming up Sunday, to give to Him, to just know that there was the righteousness of Jesus deposited on our account. And so we see that here. Now, I do want to take a deeper look in chapter number 4. Because chapter number 4, it deals with salvation by faith and not of works. But you see, Paul speaks a lot in this chapter about circumcision versus uncircumcision. And so I'll keep this simplified. I'm a simple-minded man, and so I like to teach simple. Circumcision versus uncircumcision. In the Old Testament, there was God's covenant for all Jewish males to be circumcised. And this was a token that God was their God. In the New Testament, there is the New Testament, of course, but it's now the covenant is circumcision of the heart, being changed on the inside, not no formality, not no things such as outward circumcision, but inward circumcision. And the Bible says the moment that we accept Jesus as our Savior, we have experienced circumcision of the heart, of the heart. And when that happens, we are imputed the righteousness of Jesus. But listen to this. Look at verse number 1, if you would, for a moment. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? What did Abraham find out in his life? Verse 2, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted or imputed unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So let's stop right here already. Again, he is going through faith versus works. And he's getting ready to go into the circumcision of the Old Testament outwardly versus the circumcision of the heart inwardly. In verse number 3, he says, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Verse 4, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. And so in other words, what he's saying in verse 4, the person that is trying to obtain salvation through works, it's not of grace, because grace is a free gift. Verse number 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So he's getting into the faith contrasted to works. Look at verse 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. And so this chapter is getting exciting. Paul is nailing down that salvation is by grace through faith, not of works. Listen to verse number 7. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the circumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned, when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Of course, verse number 5 all the way down through there. Verse 11 all the way down through there. It continues this thought. Look at verse 11. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness, of faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. So again, like I said in the beginning, there's this Old Testament outward sign of righteousness, circumcision of the flesh, compared to New Testament circumcision of the heart. And he is saying this circumcision of the heart is a New Testament, is true salvation. The Old Testament was just a shadow of things to come. Look at verse number 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now look at verse 18, getting very interesting. Speaking of Abraham, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Abraham said, I may be an old man, but I ain't dead yet. And God still hadn't fulfilled this promise, but he's going to, because he promised he would. So verse 19 again, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it's changing a little bit. Now it's about us. Look in verse number 23. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And so imputation tonight is a deposit of Christ's righteousness. He is passing on his righteousness to our account. Think about that. There is nothing you can do to taint that righteousness, because his righteousness is pure righteousness. Once we have his righteousness in the eyes of God, we're innocent. Doesn't matter how much we mess up. Doesn't matter how much we fumble. We have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And, you know, but we don't use that as a green card to sin. Paul takes care of that as well. He says, shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid, is what he says. We are under grace tonight, but we don't use that grace. We don't trample under our feet the grace of God, as Hebrews says. We don't use that grace as a mean to say, well, I'm saved. I have the righteousness of Jesus, so I'm just going to sin. Well, we may be forgiven, but with an attitude like that also comes a type of judgment or chastisement. So tonight we see the definition of the word imputation used here in these verses. Now, I want to go a step further and turn over, if you would, actually turn back, if you would, to Luke chapter number 23. We looked at the definition of the word imputation, and we looked at Abraham. But now I want to look at a couple illustrations of imputation. Luke 23. We know that Jesus is getting tossed around. He went before Pilate, and then he went before Herod, and then he went back to Pilate, and then he was turned over to be crucified. I want you to notice in verse number 25 of Luke 23, here we have an illustration of imputation. And it was customary annually at the feast to release a prisoner. Now, in verse number 25, all this arguing was over. It's about a man named Barabbas. And so there was argument over, well, do we release Barabbas, and or do we release Jesus? And it was an argument from verse number 1 all the way down to the rest of this chapter. It was an argument. For example, in verse number 4, Pilate says, I find no fault in this man. So Jesus is innocent. Verse number 7, when Jesus gets to Herod's jurisdiction, Herod finds no fault in this man. And so we have this innocent man that is being shoved through the different ranks and being judged. Now he goes back to Pilate. And notice, if you would, in verse number 15, no, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. Stop there. So we have innocent, righteous Jesus being tossed around between this murderous man who was in prison named Barabbas, all at the time of the annual release at the Passover, one person to be released. Verse 17 says, for of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. So there has to be this release, a prisoner set free at the Passover feast. Now look what it says about this other man, verse 18. And they cried out all at once, saying, "Away with this man and release unto us Barabbas." What are you talking about? This crazy crowd? They're wanting to keep the Christ who had no sin, no fault found in him, and they're wanting to release this Barabbas. Verse 19, for a certain sedition made in the city, sedition, uproar, basically is what that means. It means uproar. Who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. In my mind, they should let Jesus go. He was the man not accused of anything. He was the man that was innocent. And so now they're wanting to keep him and release Barabbas. Let's see. In verse number 23, and they were instant with loud voices, listen to this, requiring that he might be crucified. The crowd is yelling back to Pilate, "Crucify Jesus, crucify Jesus. Release Barabbas, release Barabbas." And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And so Pilate, he crumbled under pressure. Pilate, because of all the voices, crucified Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Released Barabbas. I mean, they're going to release someone, but at least in this instant, let it be the innocent man you release. Keep the murderer. And so the crowd had Pilate, and he bowed to peer pressure, and he said, "All right, I'll turn him over to you." Verse number 24, and Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. Let me say tonight that we need to continue to make our Christian stand and not bow to the peer pressures of this world. Let us continue to tell the world that Jesus saves and that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and be willing to die by that. But we see Pilate, he bowed to the pressure of the crowd. So many preachers, I'll say, are bowing to this crowd nowadays that wants their ears tickled. You know, they want to be told that they're great and wonderful. And listen, I'm all about encouraging, you know, you guys and go to chapel at Grace and preach. I'm all about encouragement. But the truth be known today, we're all depraved. We are sinful. Sin was deposited on us, in us, from Adam in the very beginning. And so the only way to get real help is by calling it for what it is. Lord, I'm a sinner. I need help. But Pilate didn't do that. He knew he was innocent. He could have stood with Jesus and silenced the crowd, but he gave in to the crowd. And so now, look at verse number 25. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired. But he delivered Jesus to their will. What we have in verse 25 is a picture of imputation. There's a song that we used to sing at Floyd Road called "His Life for Mine." Teresa Guerin used to sing it. "His life for mine, his life for mine." And that's what we have here. Barabbas, he was guilty of murder. He was in prison. Jesus was innocent. And so Barabbas was set free at the cost of Jesus. You and I tonight are set free at the cost of Jesus. He exchanged the innocent one for the guilty one. We were guilty. The Bible says in Romans 5, I believe it is, in verse number 8, talking about that God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so what a blessing tonight. We see imputation to pass to one's account. We see that here illustrated in the story of Barabbas being set free and keeping Jesus to be crucified. All right, let me mention another one. Turn over to Philemon, if you would, for a moment. Philemon. Just one chapter tonight in the book of Philemon. We see here also an illustration of imputation. Not amputation. Illustration. Imputation. Book of Philemon, which Hebrews follows Philemon. If you need help with that, Titus comes before. Philemon, excuse me. I am so sorry. Philemon had a servant named Onesimus. And Onesimus, as the story unfolds and as it gives account, Onesimus, he had robbed Philemon. Evidently, he had stole from Philemon. And then he left Philemon. Notice, if you would, in verse number 10, book of Philemon. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Okay, Paul's right there. He is speaking to Philemon about Onesimus, and he says, I beseech thee, I beg thee for my son Onesimus. So he's speaking on his behalf. Well, how did Paul meet Onesimus? Well, he gives reference here. He says, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Paul was in prison. One of his prison times that he was in prison back in Rome. And there's implication here that Onesimus, he fled his master. Whether he stole, whether he robbed, he fled. And there's implication here that Onesimus ended up in jail. But guess who he ended up in jail next to? Paul. Because Paul says that I have begotten him or led him to the Lord in my bonds, in my chains. Now think about that for a moment. How that God orchestrates and works things. There's a song, I guess it's a country song, but I'll go ahead and say it. I love the song. God bless the broken road. Rascal Flatts. God bless the broken road that led me straight to you. And the first time I ever preached out of this book, that was my title. It was back at Zion View. Because that's exactly what God did in the life of Onesimus. He left his master down a broken road and ended up in jail. But as God would have it, he orchestrated Onesimus to be hooked up to Paul that was in jail. Paul preached, Onesimus got saved, and I illustrated it this way when I first preached this message. I said, so, and I grabbed my Bible, and this is true, I believe. So Paul writes this, and he gives it to Onesimus to give back to Philemon. And so now Philemon has a copy of God's Word, the book of Philemon, coming from jail, going back down the same road that was a broken road, but now it's a blessed road. And now Philemon, now Onesimus has this copy, has a copy of the book of Philemon. His grace experience. God blessed the broken road. And that led him straight to Paul. And now Onesimus, he is returning this letter, and which I believe is how it went. And he says in verse number 11, listen to this. Which in time past, when he was going down that broken road, was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels. Look at verse 15. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season. Excuse me. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me. But how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord, if thou count me therefore a partner. In other words, Paul is saying in verse 17, in the verse we just read, Paul's saying, Philemon, if you look at me as a brother, if you look at me as a partner, if you believe me and you take to heart the words that I say, if thou count me therefore as a partner, receive him as myself. Verse 18, if he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, that's what implies that he stole or he left in a bad way. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on my account. So Paul says, whatever he's done to you, Philemon, you put that on my account. I'll take care of that. And then we have imputation here to pass to one's account. It's a salvation word. And we have it played out here in the little book of Philemon. So we know that whatever it is that Onesimus did, Paul's dealing with it. And guess what happens at salvation? Whatever it is that we've done, all the long broken roads, all of the useless days and nights, all of those things, God, through Jesus Christ being the mediator, God through Jesus Christ, or we through Jesus Christ are now made right with God. Jesus, all of our wrong, all of our shame, everything that we have done was placed on his account. And we know what he did. He went to the cross, he bled, and he died. He was buried, and he rose again, and went back to heaven, seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And so what a blessing tonight to see that panned out here in the life of Philemon, Paul, and Onesimus. Paul said, put that on my account. Put that on my account. What a blessing. And so we see here the illustration of the word imputation. Again, we've seen it with Barabbas that was released and Jesus was kept. And then again, when we looked at it concerning Abraham and how that he believed the Lord and that he would be faithful to what he promised and that God's righteousness was imputed unto him because of that belief. That's the message tonight, just simply the word imputation. And again, there's all kinds of other words. And what we might do, we might get into a new salvation word each Wednesday night for a while. And feels good teaching on it. And of course, I like to take the most simplified route that I can. I don't like to lose the attention of you guys trying to teach and all. I like to keep it simple. Father, we love you. We thank you tonight for everything. God, we're most thankful that you included us in your plan. And Lord, that tonight we have the righteousness of your Son, Lord, in our life. And because of that, we can go to heaven. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving us for all sin. Let tonight be a silent night, where we reflect upon you as we leave and go to our homes and just bask in your love and your affection. Keep us all safe. Bring us back safely on Sunday where we can worship you again. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Anything to mention before we close? All right, we appreciate it. Everyone have a blessed night.